This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Yinz guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh. Today is April 2nd. The Bucks lost last night 7-0 in Thomas Harrington's debut. Some moves were needed before the game. Let's talk about it all. I think on the offensive side of the ball here, I want to start out with something a little bit shorter. And let's talk about the Shane Baz revenge game. We could say all we want about the Pirates offense and how bad this season has started on the offensive side. We can talk about how they're still watching third strikes. We could talk about how it's been a lackluster performance all around. But the point is, for last night in particular, and let's separate last night from maybe the rest of it, Shane Baz was awesome. And there were a lot of great pitches. And it just matters how you spin this. But he was very good. He set up hitters the exact way you would want to do it. He's got 99. He's thrown it in certain spots. The curveball comes in. It's not a fastball, looks like a fastball, and then you freeze. That's pitching 101 right there. So I'm not going to just blame hitters entirely for this. I think there's maybe a lack of a plan, maybe a lack of jumping in and going after like a pitch early in the zone or going after the 99. If you're saying that you're trying to be on time for 99, then be on time for 99. You can't get locked up on that and the curveball. If so, it means that you're really you're hitting defensively. And I can't imagine that defensively is watching third strike without at least throwing a bat out and trying to foul it off. There were a few that when he threw the pitch, there was no way. And I'm trying to think of one in particular where the curveball was actually down in the zone. And there was a pitch earlier in the at-bat that I thought, that's the one you should have hit. I think it was Jack Suwinski. And then he came with a curveball low and in that was unhittable, but you have to swing because you don't know if it's going to stay there. You don't know where that's going. But as a hitter, I mean, it's one of the hardest things to do ever, right, is just hit a baseball. And when you got a guy spinning it and throwing it that hard, it makes it even harder. Shane Baz was awesome in this game. And like I said, it was a pitch earlier in the at-bat that maybe it was like, man, that's the one you want back. The outside and high curveball that sat on the outside corner to O'Neill Cruz, this is a, let's talk about the challenge coming in. I was sitting here with my father-in-law, Ray, and he was like, even if he challenges that, he's losing it. It's a strike. But there's no way to swing at it because it never looked like a strike to the hitter. He's going to go back, look at the iPad and say, how in the world did he do that? Because it's not something. Now, if you were maybe an Adam Frazier type hitter, maybe you stick the bat out there and you try to foul that ball off. That's not O'Neill Cruz. O'Neill Cruz is trying to do damage. I'm giving him a pass on that. I'm not saying like, listen, the only reason you don't give the Pirates offense a pass on a day where a guy was just carving him up is because this has been going on. And dude, their bullpen is so good too. So I'm just saying the offense needs to get better, but let's give credit where it was due. Shane Baz was very, very good. So that's all I'm saying is we just have to give the credit. So let's talk about Thomas Harrington and his debut here. So excited coming into this. I talked yesterday on the show that I thought there was no way that they would swing this. I talked earlier in the day about if they would, or maybe I even said a little bit of it on the show, basically saying that Carmen Maginski would probably be the guy because then he wouldn't be available anyway. And so maybe you would send Maginski down for a minute and then let Harrington maybe get a few starts. I still believe you need to give Harrington a few starts, but we're going to talk about the move that they made here in a minute. Let's just talk about Harrington. I am a sucker for major league debuts. I always have been. I've talked about it on this show several times, and I always will be. It's my favorite thing. It's must-see TV as far as I'm concerned. And I was very excited, as you guys know, how much I love Thomas Harrington and what he brings to the table. I was very excited for this. And this game could have gone a lot of ways. And this might have been the worst way it could have gone. It really just feels like this is probably the worst way it could have gone. I could sit here and talk about how the late last minute call up never works. You got a guy rushing to get into town and then he's, you know, trying to prep for a major league debut. And instead he's worrying about flights and getting there and being on time and being in his routine. And not only that, but his routine was thrown off. He last threw 8 days ago. That's not really a routine that they were in spring training. There were some rainouts that probably affected when he was going to throw. Same with, you know, anybody else. But I said yesterday I thought it would be Harrington because of how close he was to even starting the year off. And it would be the easy button for me to sit here and say, well, good thing he didn't, which it was only a day different of when he would have got his first start. But the thing is, you can't do that, right? We could talk about nerves. We could talk about how, you know, nerves getting the best of a kid who's in the spotlight, who's never really been in the spotlight. You know, they talked to his parents during the game and they talked about his path to the major leagues during the game. And it's not one of Bubba Chandler. It's not one of Paul Skeens. This is a completely different path where maybe mostly out of the spotlight in a way. Still, those are excuses. That's all they are. And so you don't have to go there because he could have just been good tonight too. This game comes down to execution. And it does most of the time, right? Baseball in general comes down to execution. And Harrington, for whatever reason, did not execute in the game tonight. What you watched, if you watched the game, if you could muster through all 4 innings of what he gave us, what you watched is not an indication of what this dude is about. It's just not. The changeup was all over the place. He walked 4 guys tonight. He hasn't walked 4 guys, I don't think, in his professional career. Wasn't able to look back at every start. And maybe I will and clarify later, but I haven't seen any. Last year, I looked through the whole last year, he never walked more than 2 guys. In a single game. So, I mean, this guy does not walk 4 guys. This guy's changeup is not always all over the place. Call it what you want, but this is not an indication of who this kid is. I'm messing with a pen here, and I'm afraid I'm clicking, so I gotta grab the baseball. Anyway, this is not a guy who, and I'm trying to make comparisons here. I'm trying to understand, you know, what we watched and what you would normally see and say, oh, I've seen it a million times, right? But it's not necessarily the same thing as what you've seen a million times. This isn't a guy who, if you remember Tyler Glasnow, who would strike out a million guys in AAA games and come up to the majors and just walk a million guys. That's not this kid. Like, he's not striking out a ton of guys. He's not getting a ton of chases. He's setting guys up. He's getting them off balance. He's throwing a lot of strikes. And it's about pinpoint control is his game with a nasty slider and a good everything else. Even the fastballs, I would say at 92, 93, it's a very good fastball, right? He doesn't have the luxury of blowing it by at 97 to 99. He's going to get you off balance. He's going to pick you apart in that way. This league does not have any gimmies in it. They don't care. They're going to kick you when you're down. And that's exactly what we saw today. 3 runs in the first inning. And then it felt like, okay, let's pick yourself up. Let's go back at it. And he seemed to do that pretty well. But the changeup was still the one that I thought, man, that pitch is not hitting. There was some breaking balls inside to lefties that were just so far off that it's not effective, right? That's not setting anybody up to do anything. I'm going to pull up the box here, but he ends the night with 4 innings pitched, 7 hits, 6 runs, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts, and the home run to get to the 6 runs was really the one. I thought that if he could have got through the 4th inning there with just the 4 runs, I really could have thought he threw 90 pitches. I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't out there for the whole thing, but I felt like if he could have got out of there with 4 runs or with the 4 runs, cause the sac fly afterwards, right? Even with the 4 runs and got through 4 innings, you'd have something to build off of. You would have something to say, all right, not too bad. Let's go from here. We learned some things. The 2-run homer just really kind of, it made it stink all the way. And you're bummed out. Anytime it's a major league debut, you're bummed out. They're talking to him right now. I wish I was listening to that right now. That might give me a little bit more. I'm going to have to check that interview out later. But yeah, I mean, it's just not good. At some point, you got to pick yourself up and get back at it. What's done is done. It's behind you. You got to move forward. And really, the Pirates in general need to do a lot of that right now, right? It's a long season. There's a lot left to do and a lot of time to turn this into something more than what it's been, which has been nothing short of just very bad. Pirates got some work to do. Good thing is, it's very early. And I thought about that. It was like you were watching the game when it was 3-0 and or even when it was 4-0, you're watching the game. Even when it was 6-0, really, it's the 4th inning. It's like, at one point, Jack Suwinski got up. There's 2 guys on right after IKF almost hit into a double play. And you're like, you know, if he just runs into one here, it's a 3-run game again. When you have that much game left, it's not over, but somehow, well, Shane Boz, right? Shane Boz made it feel like it was over. But outside of him, it really didn't feel like the game was over until you just watched the at-bats, watched the, we talked about this last year. The body language is not one of, we got time. It's not. It was almost like, dang, we're going to have to get through the rest of this game. We've already lost. And I mean, maybe this is a topic for another day, but that comes back to coaching. That's all there is to it. Speaking of coaching, they had a tough decision to make before the game. David Bednar optioned to AAA. It was something that we'd all kind of said, maybe they should do this. But I don't think any of us really believed that they would make that decision. But that's the exact decision they made. Sending David Bednar to AAA is possibly, and maybe something that I was maybe hopeful of, but possibly a message to the rest of the roster that if you don't get it done, you're not safe. But I don't know who's sending that message. And I don't know who's not at fault right now in this organization, right? Are you saying this is all Sherrington for not giving Shelton a backup plan in the bullpen? Maybe that's fair. Maybe Sherrington's the one that said, we got to move him down, and Shelton doesn't agree with it. And so is Shelton putting that into the clubhouse saying, hey, this is what it's like. I don't know. I don't even know how much of that, like, you know, we know our stories from when we played. We know how we were talked to. We know how we treated our coaches. We know how Leland treated his team. We know how all that thing goes down. That kind of stuff, I just don't know how much it works right now. I don't know how much it applies in, I'm not going to say baseball today, but like really the world today. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you're adults dealing with adults. And so I think there's a way that the way that you can do this stuff, I think that very few guys understand how to make it happen. I don't know. I tend to doubt that Derek Shelton is one of them, but I'm not in that locker room. So maybe it's different. I'm not sure. But either way, David Bednar being optioned is actually a big move. I mean, this is a 2-time All-Star, an elite closer. Let's not fool around. We've talked about this before. We believed, Jake and I believed, that he would just bounce right back. This is an elite closer who has now had I mean, we're coming into the year with the same problems he had last year. So we're coming into the second year with all the same problems not being fixed. And I don't know, like I said before, I can't imagine that a guy is just broken. But at the same time, I don't know how you think he's going to fix it if he had a whole off season too and it didn't happen. It seemed like he fixed maybe his physical, you know, he's lost some weight. He feels like he's in better shape. He feels like he's got more energy. He's ready to go. But like, did you fix your curveball? I don't care if you're fat. If you throw a good curveball, then you're going to be effective in this league. If you can set up your curveball or tunnel your curveball with your fastball, you're going to be effective no matter how much you weigh. I don't care. There's been good pitchers who've been heavy before. So I'm kind of out on that a little bit. But either way, he needs to get right. And this is one of those things. Put it behind you. Go to AAA. Less pressure. Less eyes on you. Get put into game situations and fix that curveball. It has to happen. And this is going to happen with a lot of guys. Kyle Nicholas had a good outing today. These sort of things need to happen. So Nicholas, Nick York, those kind of guys, they've got till April 11th. They can be called up April 11th. If they can fix their crap by April 11th, then they can come back up and make an impact on this team at that point. Until then, they just can't be. Like, they've got to be down for 15 days. I think the date's April 11th. I talked about it yesterday. Go back and listen to yesterday's show if you didn't get a chance to. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to Monday mornings or Sunday night, which is the same show, but our live show Sunday night that we do every Sunday releases on Monday morning on audio. If you didn't get a chance to go back and listen to that, do it. I'm trying to keep these short to give you an opportunity to still go back and catch those. So I'm going to wrap this up now, but sooner or later, we're going to talk about torpedo bats, but it just keeps changing. The story keeps changing. Everything keeps coming out about these things. David Bednar's in AAA. Thomas Harrington had about the worst debut that you would want him to have. I think it's going to get better from here. I hope they give him maybe a couple more starts, at least one more start, just to maybe, hey, let me show you what I can do with some control. But other than that, that's all I have for today. Have a great day, and let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Subscribing to your platform of choice is the best way to be notified for new episodes. And now, new episodes every weekday. Remember, live shows with my dad and Uncle Jake are Sundays at 9 p.m. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and join them in the live chat every Sunday. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.